Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. How ready are we for a big earthquake? We held a giant drill this summer, the Cascade Rising Earthquake Response Drill, to test our region's response to power blackouts and damaged roads and bridges, and we failed, according to a draft report card. Washington State is unprepared for a major earthquake. From the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network, Bill Steele tells you the ways we're not prepared.
Oh, boy, there's a lot of them. First of all, just walking around here through the U District or downtown, we see a lot of unreinforced masonry buildings still up, and they pose a real hazard for the people on the sidewalk and the folks in the buildings because we know they fail pretty readily under strong shaking conditions. So we'd really like to see a program to retrofit those buildings or take them down and build them, come back with a much better structure, because even retrofitted, they're never going to be as good as a modern building.
Okay. Unreinforced masonry, bad. What else did we do badly in this Cascade?
Well, I think we've chosen to put our head in the sand, so to speak, on the beach. We haven't really looked at, in a realistic way, the tsunami threat to our coastal communities. I think there have been a small group that has been working very hard the last almost 15, 20 years now to try to raise awareness and plan for that eventual tsunami. And we're beginning to see headway now. The real exciting thing for me this June is the Okasta School District did a ribbon cutting on the first vertical evacuation building in the entire country at an elementary school that was built with local tax dollars to save the lives of the kids and the local community in the event of a tsunami.
Okay, we did something right. Otherwise, our head is in the sand on the beach. Why? Why aren't we better prepared?
It costs a lot of money.
Rats.
We have a lot of infrastructure, and we have a lot of immediate needs. We're trying to fund all-day kindergarten and try to keep the class sizes reasonable and fund K-12 education. We want our bridges strong. That's very expensive. And replacing these buildings costs a lot of money. And so sometimes what happens if you don't have all those resources, you tend to do nothing. And what we're hoping to see in future from this Cascadia Rising exercises and others, motivation to kind of have a long-term plan to build resilience in the state of Washington and Oregon, and so that when this earthquake eventually does occur, we're in much better shape to deal with it.
Well, we know getting ready for an earthquake is expensive. We have agencies to do this kind of thing. I don't understand why the lack of preparedness is because it's expensive. That's just a bill we've decided to pay, isn't it?
Well, not really, because we really don't have the resources to do everything, quickly. And there are other priorities folks have that. They want that lane to help reduce traffic congestion. They want that new bridge that is needed to get people across Lake Washington. There are a lot of other priorities that are very expensive. So the earthquake mitigation kind of drops down a little. Now, WashDOT has done a lot of retrofitting of bridges, but what that's done primarily is link the bridge decks together and do some strengthening of the bridge structure itself, but not necessarily the bridge-soil interaction or the abutments. So it's improved things, but there's still very vulnerable transportation links in our region and in our city where I-5 run could have some catastrophic failures.
One of the recommendations from the report is that people stock up on 2 weeks' worth of food instead of just 3 days. How realistic is that?
Well, I think it depends somewhat on your condition. I think it's a good target. You want a deeper pantry if you can afford it. If you're in an apartment, you might have trouble finding the shelf space for 2 weeks.
Right.
And so I think having, a few, if even you had the 3 days to a week of food put aside, you can stretch that out. We don't starve to death instantly, and we have some fat of the land to live off of, most of us. So, we're not going to starve. We might be a little uncomfortable, but if you have 3 days worth of food and the disaster ends up taking 2 weeks before you get help, you'll make it. The water is harder, and even though you may not be able to put water aside for 2 weeks in your small place, you could put enough for a few days and, again, have a filter that could make water potable for your use and to refill those jugs as the disaster progresses. So you don't necessarily have to have all the water on hand immediately, but have some means of getting it.
You're a seismologist. What's your house like for preparedness? What you got?
I have a pantry in the basement, and it's pretty deep. I have enough food there, and probably I think we have 12 gallons of water total in the house. We probably do some more of that, but I do have a good filter, and we have really good cooperative relationships with all of our neighbors. So when we know where the generator is in our neighborhood, we know where the water filters are in the neighborhood, we know where the medical people are in our neighborhood, and we talk together regularly. So that's going to be an important asset for my family, is our neighbors when the disaster occurs.
The neighborhood preparedness, that's important. Right? Really, your neighbors are going to be a huge part of this. We talk about our own food and water, but
they're going to be the fire department, the police, the medical squad. I mean, we could be islands. You know, our neighborhoods are islands, and we have tremendous resources and intelligent people and wonderful folks living in our neighborhood. If we knew where they were and what their capabilities are, we could utilize that to really get by a lot better.
Okay, bottom line for those just joining us, we got this report out of our earthquake drill, and what should we take away from it, Bill?
That right now we're underprepared for a big earthquake, for a magnitude 9 Cascadia or a magnitude 6 Seattle fault or even another Nisqually earthquake. We could do more to be better prepared for that. So we don't know when these are going to occur next. Individually, the chance of a big earthquake on any one fault is not huge for a 50-year period, 15% for a magnitude 9 on the Cascadia subduction zone, 15% for a big crustal fault breaking in the Puget Sound area, and at like an 83-84% chance of a big deep earthquake somewhere in the Puget Sound area. But put together, we have a substantial hazard, and I'll be surprised if in your lifetime we don't have another big earthquake.
Bill Steele with the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network at the University of Washington telling you to stock up and get to know your neighbors now, before the quake, now. We're tweeting out a link to a website, too, that will help you prepare, so follow us at KUOW.